Today I'll be reading Isaiah 43:11 through 21. If you want to follow me in the Bible, it's on page 1126. God's mercy and Israel's unfaithfulness. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down fugitives as the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and the streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and the streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I form for myself, and they may proclaim my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, and the kids are already gone. Okay. Well, clear a space for you guys. I'm delighted that I don't have to preach today. So praise God for that. No, I love preaching, but. You know that. I would probably go shorter if I didn't love it so much. So I apologize for that. Maybe I love it too much. But today we have precious guests with us. They shared some fantastic stories with us this morning during the discussion, the Bible discussion class. And they're going to share more about their ministry specifically in the Dominican Republic. Tammy has been serving in the Dominican Republic for 11 years. As a covenant missionary in various capacities. And Hochi, well, as long as you've been breathing, you've been in the Dominican Republic, right? Yeah, so he was born and raised there, and you'll hear more about their story and their ministry. But they have a special guest with them today, Pastor Jesus, who is Hochi's pastor for many years now, and so delighted that he's able to be with us today as well. And I'm not sure if he's sharing at all, but that's up to you guys if you want to share your time. Their little 10-month-old boy Arthur is in the nursery, so hopefully you'll get a chance to squeeze his cheeks later. Not too hard, though. But now I'm going to invite, without further ado, Tammy and Hochi Hernandez.
You today, and we're delighted. I've known Andrew for quite a few years, and so it's great to be among the people that God has entrusted him to serve alongside here at Bretton Woods. So thank you for the privilege to be able to share a little bit about what God is doing in and through our ministry and the ministries that God has entrusted to us in the Dominican Republic and through the Caribbean. Shared a little bit this morning in Psalm 71, and I just want to reemphasize a few of those verses, if you will indulge me for a moment. In Psalm 71, starting in verse 15, it says, "My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I do not know how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your mighty deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. So, we thought this morning we'd like to share a little bit about the mighty acts and the marvelous deeds that God is doing in and through our ministry. And so, to help us out, we have a few items that are strewn between the pews there. And so, if you are close to one of those, we're going to need your help and participation to open that up and then show that item, and then that item will be yours for the keeping afterwards. And I apologize to yours. Yours had a little accident there. We'll talk later. Yours had a little accident, lost its head. I don't think it lost the head. I think it just lost its hat. So we're going to start off with, who has the bag that has the number one on it? You do. All right. What do you have, sir?
A basketball.
A basketball. Hochi, would you like to tell us, what does that have to do with our ministry?
For many years, like the pastor says, I born in Dominican Republic, and I really are involved in all these needs we can see in our countries. Who better than you to know what is the need of your country, you know? And for different reasons, we started the process to use sport ministries in different neighborhoods who the kids are involved in different things, and most of the time they have a lot of free time. And when they have a little free time, so you know, sometimes can be some mistakes coming. So we start, before I met my wife, I start to do sport ministry, more in the area of basketball, because I like basketball, and I know a lot of people love basketball in my country. So the youth, they are really open when you, hey, do you want to play basketball with me? We can have a little tournament, like the better of the three or better of the five. But what we do, we start with a little burst in the beginning to the process of the game. I come to the basketball court with my friends from the church. My pastor start now to support that vision, to encourage the youth of the church come into the neighborhoods and play between Christian and no Christian, but we mix the teams too. So what is the reason? The reason is when you come, they can see they are important for you. Most of the time, a lot of churches say, you need to come because I know I have God. I know you are in trouble. You need to come. So, but the church now start to go like Jesus. Jesus go. So when we go to the basketball court, be before everything, we say, we can start with a little pray. We can pray before we play basketball, and we can have a really good time, and we don't have injuries, all the stuff. And after that, we share a little. We share a little verse of the Bible. So we talk about how you can apply this in your basketball game, or how you can apply this in your life. And most of the time, the kids, the youth, they accept really good that part. So they start to go to the church. My pastor is a witness. Now we have a tournament coming in the inter neighborhoods, different neighborhoods playing together. So, but the church is recruiting kids from the streets, and now one of the requirements to you be a part of that team is go one time of the week to the church. You can choose what service you want, youth service. The worship service on Sunday, you choose what service you want to go. But you need to go one service. And then most of the time, they come one or two to be a Christian. The last year, my team was the champion, and it was the Christian League, the first Christian League in Santiago, and made a tournament, and we win like five kids. For God, Youth used to have rough moments in their neighborhood. Now they start to be a Christian. So that's mean the basketball for in our ministry.
We also use sports in different ways when we have teams come down. One of the things that we do is customize mission trips through Merge Ministries, which is a ministry of Serve Globally, otherwise known as World Mission. And so North Park University especially has been bringing teams down. And so 2 years ago, we had their women's basketball team come down, and they did a sports camp. And then last year, they came down, and they did the women's volleyball team came down. And so they also did a sports camp. And we did, like you said, sharing testimony and things like that alongside that. All right. Who has the bag number two? All right. What is in there?
Beautiful family picture.
Oh, thank you. And playing cards. All right. Thank you for the beautiful picture part. That's because my husband and my son are on that picture.
You're welcome.
Playing cards. What does that have to do? No, we don't hold euchre or poker tournaments or anything like that. But what this represents for us is a shuffling of roles. From my beginning as a covenant missionary, I was a single missionary living there. I was the only missionary in the whole Caribbean for the covenant church. And so I did everything basically as a one-woman show. And then as, you know, getting to know my husband and things, our ministries have really melded together, and that's why we've seen a real shift in our even what we do. As I shared earlier with the group downstairs, I'd say mission trips are about a third of what we do now, just because of the giftedness that we have and the way that we're growing as a couple and now as a family with Arthur. What that looks like as a family is my role has shifted and shuffled, and so my primary role is as a mother and a wife, and then serving out of that as a family. So I'm so thankful to have such a gifted and wonderful husband. Like, I knew you were going to do that. Looking for someone else. I'm looking at you, buddy. So, but he has really taken those roles and used the way that God has gifted him uniquely to be able to continue and to grow our ministry in more fruitful ways, I believe. So I praise God for that. Number three. I'm sorry, her hat fell off. Okay. She didn't lose her head, but she lost her hat on the way here. I heard a clunk, and I thought, oh, that's not good. So this doll, and if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to actually, like, bring it around so people can show this. And my husband's going to explain a little bit about the doll.
Okay. That doll. It's a really Dominican typical doll. That's represent our women's, our identity, our nation, like Dominicans. But that doll have something interesting in her. You know what is interesting in that doll? You can see that. What typically we miss it in that doll? Face. For Dominicans, this is really typical. Why? Dominicans don't have one specific ethnic culture. Why? For example, if I come here, I can say for sure who is American and who is not. If you travel all around the world, they can see if you are American or not for your ethnic appearance. But Dominicans, they are really mixes of different nation people, different cultures. For example, When Dominican Republic started to be a Dominican Republic was because people from Spain, Christopher Columbus, come from one side. But when he was in the island, they was indigenous there. So they mix with the indigenous. But when the indigenous die, they pick people from Africa, slave from Africa. So they mix again. With the people who mix with Spain's people, with the indigenous plus Africans, now we don't have one specific characteristic in our face. We don't have that. You, For example, if I don't speak Spanish, you don't know I'm from Dominican Republic. You know? See, if my pastor speaks just English, you can say, oh, but he's Afro-American. You don't know he's Dominican. For example, we know a lot of Dominicans have the same skin color of you, but they even in their life they don't speak English. But if they speak English, you think they are Americans. You know, that's a bigger concern mm-hmm. about the door. We don't have one specific ethnic identity, and how all this stuff come to our ministry. We, like a family, we try to help different communities of youth or adults because they are losing their identity in Christ. They don't know who they are in Christ. Even they don't know who they are in the world. They are lost. So we, like a family in local church, we try to teach them, to explain them who they are in Christ. What is their identity in Christ? How important they are in Christ? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you wanna.
No, you did a good job. So we're concentrating more and more on friendship evangelism, one-on-one, and group discipleship through some of the means that my husband already talked about, but really looking as that being a major focus for us. And I know you can probably attest to this even in the United States that less and less people are inclined to know who they are in Jesus. And so that's a major focus for us as a family. Who has number four? All right, what do you have there? A butterfly. And that butterfly is made out of coconut shells. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? That is made in the Dominican Republic, and that butterfly has a very important significance for the country. Do you want to share the
you can start.
History? Okay.
You can start.
All right. So between the years of 1930 and 1961, the Dominican Republic had a dictator. His name was Trujillo. Trujillo was a ruthless man. There was a lot of he either overtook most of the companies in the Dominican Republic, or people basically gave a large portion of their companies to him out of fear. He ruled very ruthlessly, and he thought so highly of himself that he actually renamed the capital city, which is Santo Domingo. He renamed it Ciudad Trujillo, so the city of Trujillo. And many things were changed. The names of them were changed, or monuments were erected in his honor. He had an affinity for young girls. And so if he was somewhere where a young girl of 13, 14, 15 years old caught his eye, he would send someone who worked for him to their house and request the presence of their daughter with him. And if that parent, that father, said no, they would come up missing. And so this was the way that he ruled, with fear and terror. And so there was an underground movement in order to overthrow him. And there was a group of people, and there were three sisters that were involved in this movement. They were the Mirabal sisters, and everybody basically that was in the movement at one point or another was imprisoned, and they were too as girls and women. And at one point they were out of prison, but they went back to visit their husbands in the prison. And because that the movement was getting so strong, one of the things that in order to talk about where a meeting was going to be for the underground movement, they would say, where are the butterflies meeting? Or where have you seen the butterfly? And so the butterfly is in the garden. Or the butterfly, I saw a butterfly at so-and-so's house. So it was a code name or word that they used in order to talk about where they were meeting. So anyway, these three sisters were coming back from visiting their husbands, and they were taken off the road by, they said they were from like farmers and thugs and things, but we also know that it was Trujillo's men and they were brought into the sugarcane fields, and they were beaten and strangled. And so these three women died. And so it was the first time that violence was against women in terms of the movement. And so very shortly after that, Trujillo was assassinated. And but the symbol of that butterfly has continued to today. It's continued for a few reasons. It's a symbol of hope for the country, of the transformation that is available to us as a people, and then also as a reminder of what people fought for and what people are fighting against. And so the reason that we use that butterfly is that we're just beginning to look at some of the systematic issues that are in the Dominican Republic. Systematically, the system issues we're talking about is violence in the home. It's very prevalent. And so we're very thankful that, I'm not sure if you are aware of the program that the Covenant Church, the Women Ministry, has been promoting for quite a few years in Ava. Are you familiar with this? Okay. It's Against Violence and Abuse. It's a program that is used within churches to help people that are going through abuse. And so they come and do training and things like that. And then, well, this material is now available in Spanish. And so we're talking with some of our major leaders that we partner with in the Dominican Republic to see if this is something that we can implement. And so we're talking about having a group come and being able to train our leadership into being able to use the AVA against violence and abuse. So that is one way. The other thing is looking at the fact that exploitation and prostitution are large components in the Dominican Republic due to the fact that it's a very, very well-known touristic island. And so one way that they get more people to come is that you can have companionship while you're there. And so we've got girls that are very young that are basically selling themselves in order to help provide for their families. Well, you can't just tell a woman, you know, you shouldn't do that, you know, that's sinning or whatever. You need to give them some other types of options in order to be able to sustain the life of their family. And so we're looking at ways of being able to use even the models that we've been able to use well in Colombia and other places of microenterprise and other types of ministries to be able to give women, especially women and young girls, an option to be able to provide for their family in a way that is honoring to them and their bodies and to God. So, number five. Who has number five? You may not want that. I'm just telling you. But what do you have? Yes, it is. It's by the most popular Dominican rapper there is in the world.
I don't know where he is.
What is that, honey?
This is other than our biggest ministry in Dominican Republic, because we start to work so hard in youth, because the youth, they're the next generation of Christians, the next generation of godly men and women of God. So somebody need to teach them. They are the future. So for a lot of moment, but with a lot of times, people say, you are the youth are the future of the church, of the world. They are the present of the world. Mm-hmm. Because they are growing. This is right now. That's happened to now. So, but we start with a urban ministry. When I started to be a Christian, I used to be a choreographer. And when I wasn't Christian, and was my first ministry in my local church with the Pastor Jesus. And I remember I asked my pastor, how can I serve God? And he said, what do you have? I just know how to dance right now. And he use it. And I start to do devotionals in the beginning, like for 15, 20 minutes devotional and 1 hour of dance class. In the first week, I have five. If I am wrong. But the next week, the number was 45 kids from the neighborhood. Kids used to run around in the neighborhood. Kids most of the time was used it for drugs dealer to send the stuff, because these kids, the police officer don't never think about that. So, but now all these kids, they are in the church. What are they doing in the church? They are listening to the word of God. But when after sometimes, because my artistic name is Ironheart, that's good.
I
say good.
Uh-huh.
I say good. Yep. Yeah. All the time it's hard for me to say that word, but I like it. But that's my artistic name for a reason. A few years ago, I was having an open heart surgery. I must die for tell you the truth. Just God can do what they do with me. And my pastor is my big witness all the time, because we all the time fight with this. Like, pastor, I cannot dance anymore. Why can I do now?
And okay, because he has a mechanical aortic valve. So they're iron and metal, so iron heart.
So I asked my pastor, what can I do now? I love dance. I love teach the kids how to dance, and they love that. And the urban ministry is growing a lot here in Dominican Republic, and Santiago is this one of the biggest movements now. And he told me, ask God, but I don't see you in that ministry for a long time. So after that, after a lot of prayers, God gave me that opportunity to sing. And I start in corners in the neighborhood, the bad neighborhoods, really bad neighborhoods. Into the point when you go there, you see the guys with a lot of tattoos, smoking, all this stuff in the corner, and you, it's like, oh, okay, I think I'm the wrong place. But I was there in the corner with a speaker, one of my friends doing the big bots, and everybody was like, what that guy is doing? And I, with one microphone, I tell them, okay, I'm here, I'm Christian, my church is three blocks down, we want to share our ministry, it's rap, it's Christian rap. I will tell you some stories about the Bible in rap. And I start to do my rhymes, and the guys, one of the bad guys of the neighborhood, he was in the front, in the corner in front of me, and he started to do like, and all these guys, when they see the bad guy of the neighborhood,
the
everybody start to coming. And I was completely around of these guys. And they was, oh, man, the Christians are really good. Man, it's really good music. And it's Christian music. Weird, no? It's like, no, it's not weird. It's different. So, but they start to like it. And they tell me most of the time, wow, I want to go. I want to go to the church if it's like that. Because you told me they accept to me for who I am. So we start, and now, thanks to God, a lot of people have been changed through the music. I can share my testimonies in music, and they start to be interested to what God is doing. That the music don't change then, but the music give them the interest to go to the church and see what happened to me, who changed me. In the music now with the youth, this is the same languages. We are speaking the same languages. Because, for example, if I'm an adult and I go to speak with a youth, they will see me like, okay, your life is perfect. But when you talk youth, adult, the same situation, the same temptation, they will say, but how you can be like that if we are same? So with the music, we was working for 2 months in a safety house. It's like a foster house when the government take the kids because the parents abuse them, the parents are on drugs or violations, all this stuff. And a lot of denominations try to work there, and the kids don't like. In that moment, doesn't like listen anything about God. They have a lot of trouble with our authorities.
Authority.
Mm-hmm. They were so bad. But one day, the youth of my church, We go there. We will do dance class, rap, dramas, and they was really excited about that. But when I was singing, one of my songs, I shared my testimony, and I say, God love you. You are important for God. And one of them, so mad, stand up and say, how you tell me God love me if I'm here without my parents? How you love me? How you tell me God love me when I'm important for God? When I'm here, my father punch me all the time, or my parents abuse me, or my parents are in drugs, and I'm alone here. So I share my testimony. After that, they want to us keep going there. Teach them about God. They ask for us 50 Bibles the next time. But the interesting was they use the Bible upside down because they don't know how to use the Bible. So we teach them how to use the Bible. Around 70 kids, youth, don't know how to use Bible, don't love God. Now they are interested in God. They love God. Ladies, girls used to just show the body to trying to find love for the wrong way. Now she wants to be professionals. Now they want to be different. They want to be better. Guys just thinking in drugs or fights or alcohol. Now they want to be involved in sports. They want to be professional. They want to be engineers. They want to be baseball players. And how we can go there? We use the music. So that means the city in our ministry.
So if you are not privy to listening to Spanish Christian rap, maybe you will have somebody come along your way that you can use that as a way to show them the love of Christ through music. We read just before... our sister here read from Isaiah 43, and in Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And we really feel like this is one of the ways that God is using us to do a new thing. And there are things that we're involved in. We're like, what? I mean, how does a small town Saranac girl become involved in urban ministries in the Dominican Republic? Only God. But God is using those types of ministries in order to bring people to at least a cognizance of who God is. And then there is this desire. But what this new thing right now for us looks like is that God is continuing to show us that there is a disconnect in many of the churches that the kids basically can be going to. And as you can probably appreciate, it's sometimes easier to start a new church in a new style than change the way that things are in an existing founding church. And so we really feel God calling us to church planting and to be able to have basically the first hip-hop church in the Dominican Republic and the first covenant church in the Dominican Republic. And
in
so,
the Caribbean.
Yeah. And so we're in the process of going through the church planting. We're going to be doing the church planting assessment and then looking at how do we then translate to that into our culture and where God has called us. And so we're in the beginning stages of that as well. So it's an exciting time for us as a family, a growing family and growing ministries. And we're just so blessed to be a part of what God is doing and what he's entrusted to us. But going back to that Psalm 71, and then I promise we'll get off the stage, is that it says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me until I proclaim to the next generation. And isn't that what we're called to? Each and every one of us here in Lansing, in your homes, in your workplace, wherever God has called you, he is doing a new thing in you. Even when you're 95 years old, God is still doing a new thing in you. And so that's exciting to be a part of. It's exciting to know that God is calling you to proclaim that his mighty acts to the next generation. So I want to challenge each and every one of you as we leave today. What is God calling you to do? What is that new thing that God has placed and planted in you? And maybe you've been kind of pushing it off a little bit. But God is there, and God is working, and he is mighty, and he does marvelous things in our lives. And so we have him to praise for that. So praise be to God for all of the ministries that he has called us to and will continue to call us to. Amen.